So are you looking for a battle of civilizations, the conflict between Islam and Christianity? Well, pull out your map, all right? You could find Washington, D.C. You could maybe look at Lower Manhattan, where those plans to put an Islamic center near what people call Ground Zero is causing so much controversy. Listen to these voices.
It's not even Islamophobia. It's beyond Islamophobia. It's hate of Muslims.
If they moved it, they would get the respect of more Americans.
His middle name is Hussein, and everybody sort of focuses on that.
We don't prefer people, and we don't punish people based on their religion.
America today begins to turn back to God.
Conversations in America about God and politics and the conflict among religions is nothing new in the United States. But if you really want to explore and investigate the flashpoints and the conflicts between Islam and Christianity globally, you wouldn't go anywhere near Lower Manhattan. You wouldn't go anywhere near Washington, D.C. You'd focus on the 10th Parallel, which is the title and the focus of Eliza Griswold's new book. It's called The 10th Parallel, Dispatches from the Fault Line Between Christianity and Islam. And she joins us this morning. Good morning, Eliza.
Good morning.
So the 10th Parallel, if you look at a map, there's an enormous population embodied in that geography. And it was surprising to learn that most Muslims live along the 10th Parallel and most Christians live along the 10th Parallel. Why did you choose the 10th parallel, aside from those mathematical certainties there?
Well, after hearing about, as we all have, all this clash of civilization stuff, I wanted to go to where the two religions are actually meeting on the ground, where this is all actually happening. And, you know, we forget that, or many of us don't know, I certainly didn't know, that 4/5 of the world's 1 billion Muslims live outside of the Arab world. And, you know, the average Christian today is not Glenn Beck. It's not a white American male. It's an African woman.
Indeed. And the church's leadership, the Catholic Church's leadership, is struggling with this demographic shift that's taking place. And we report on it, you know, all the time. The questions of gays in the priesthood, et cetera, are all related to this 10th parallel demographic shift. I'm struck by how always in news reports on Islam, you know, the fact that Malaysia and Indonesia are the most populous Muslim countries is this kind of footnote at the bottom. How does that play out when you actually go to those places and see the conflict and the coexistence between these two groups?
Well, the most important thing I think I learned, which certainly is happening here, you know, whether it's the Ground Zero Islamic Center or Glenn Beck's revival this weekend, is that the greatest clashes are within religions. So take Indonesia, for example. There you have 240 million people. 90% of them are Muslims. The greatest religious clashes in that country, not violent ones, political ones, are between Muslims over who's going to have the right to speak for God, liberals or conservatives. And that's a lot of what we see unfolding here in this country, too.
And are these issues of piety, or are they sectarian issues that we would associate with Iraq, say Sunni versus Shia?
That's a good question. They're both. I mean, mostly there are the sectarian questions of, you know, these people named the Ahmadiyya and sort of minorities within, since there's no such single thing as Islam, and there's so many Islams, that's definitely a factor in Indonesia. But the larger issue in Indonesia is very similar to what's going on here. It's between liberals and conservatives over who controls the cultural conversation of God.
It would be wrong to over-romanticize and to consider your story to be lessons from the 10th parallel, that those people from the 10th parallel would look at Americans arguing over a mosque near Ground Zero and go, oh, you silly people, come and see how we do it here. In fact, there are much more bitter rivalries in places like Sudan. Explain what you found there.
In Sudan, along the 10th parallel, the Brits divided the country in 1904. They'd already faced a large and embarrassing Islamic rebellion in the north, and the idea of splitting Sudan was, okay, we're going to split the Arab-Muslim north from, at that time, the pagan, the animist, non-Muslim south. We're going to split these two groups, and we're going to make this dividing line so that they don't – so basically, Christian missionaries, Western missionaries – don't come and stir up Islam in the north. That's more than 100 years ago, and that's exactly the kind of lines, arbitrary lines, we're seeing drawn today.
And how does that play out in communities? How do Muslims think of Christians? How do Christians think of Muslims in these communities?
Well, along the 10th parallel, a lot of the Christians began in other traditional faiths, and they are used to, because this is the southern edge of the Muslim world, they're used to being really enslaved and being minorities by the Muslim majority, and that has carried over into this very militant form of Christianity frequently, and that's where we see people like Glenn Beck or other conservative evangelicals here in this country pick up this idea of Islam's the enemy, we're under fire, look at the Christians along the 10th parallel, essentially.
And while it might be an absurd notion coming from a Glenn Beck, it's a matter of life and death in the Sudan and in certain other places along the 10th parallel.
100%, and more so because this January, South Sudan will have the right to vote in a referendum, ostensibly, over whether they want to become their own country or remain part of the North. A lot of that rhetoric is about Christian liberation, mm-hmm. whether that's true or not on the ground.
You know, 18% of Americans, have you seen this statistic, believe that Barack Obama is actually a Muslim, and that there's some sort of secret paperwork that actually proves that. And that's up from 11% around the time he was elected in 2008. How important is the identity of a leader with one or other religion and the controversy over whether he's disclosed his true religion or not? How does that play into political struggles along the 10th parallel?
It's an essential question.
Really?
Because so much of this boils down to a question of power. And whoever is going to be in leadership, that the understanding is, especially in weak or failing states, that the leader is really going to protect his own. So the idea of – now, Nigeria does it. Nigeria does nothing well when it comes to government. They do rotate presidents between Christian and Muslim. That seems to, at least on a federal level, diffuse a lot of the tension. Most of that tension, though, happens on a local level. So it doesn't really – like when violence breaks out, it's in states. It's not with the federal government. But that does at least say, okay, first we're going to have a Muslim, then we're going to have a Christian. So that diffuses some of it.
But part of what's sort of chilling about your book is that in Nigeria, for instance, which, as you say, doesn't do much right in the civic realm, you do see that the social problems are so overwhelming in Nigeria that alone tends to trump the sectarian and interreligious violence in Nigeria. It's just more overwhelming than questions of God.
Well, I think what happens is the two become interrelated, because if you can't have the right to clean water in your village, then who's going to protect those rights? Who's going to get you the rights in this world and the hereafter? And in both Christianity and Islam, it's those two worlds that matter so much. And so it's not only today, how am I going to live with my neighbor? It's who's going to get me to heaven and how?
Well, those questions are posed all along the 10th parallel, all around the world. In the book, The 10th Parallel, Dispatches from the Fault Line Between Christianity and Islam, Eliza Griswold, the author and our guest. Thanks so much.